proudest day and the proudest time in the seat of a rally car, because that day and that hour and those minutes, I got the bit between my teeth. You know, I really stood up and was counted and said, this is not getting away. I remember when we pulled on our helmets and Donald says to me, what are we doing? I said, we're going for gold, Barrett. That's all we said. I can still picture that run. That was just the best run ever.
Welcome along to Crunching Gears, the Rally Podcast, Season 3, Episode 25. Before we start, I suppose, like, share, subscribe, rate, all those things makes a huge difference. But Connor, we've been talking rallying now for 4 years now, at least at this stage, you know. We've had some great times and some great stories to tell. But what a fantastic story last weekend. Earlier on in the week, you get a chance to catch up with Josh McAlean after his fantastic result in WRC Portugal. Then also we catch up with Gary McLehinney and Declan Casey, who had great runs in the Manx rally at the weekend as well, doing the historic rally. And then this weekend coming, we have the Tour of the Spearns coming up, Mara Felt Motor Club, and I spoke to Crawford Henderson. And then that's Saturday, and then on Sunday, the Carlo, the Mark II Challenge, and the Carlo Rally there as well, and I caught up with Anya Phelan there. But Connor, the man of the moment, Josh McAlean, what a drive he had last weekend.
Look, just fantastic, unbelievable. It was just incredible. Like, I'm running out of words, but it was just to follow that and just to see the times he was setting on the Friday. And then, as you saw, some of the leading guys, you know, fall by the wayside. Josh was just cool as a cucumber, clocking up the stages, clocking up solid times, and putting it up to them. Like, you know, when you look at some of his stage times against Russell or Grisen and stuff, just incredible what he was, himself and James Fulton, were achieving.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, this is only his second event. He's only, like, you know, it's only a handful of days in the Skoda, really, you know. Like, we knew he was talented, we knew he was good, but, like, he really went even further up my estimation after last weekend.
Look, he's taken to the Skoda like a duck to water. Like, just incredible. As you say, the second event, the first one was a one-day rally just to get warmed up and get a little bit of seat time before Portugal. And he's just jumped in it and he immediately thereabouts, you know, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And again, at no point was he just going to, oh, do you know what? I've done I'm in a good place now. Maybe I'll just back off and preserve it. He fought to the bitter end. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he was on a mission on the very last stage to try and claw back 6 seconds. And in the end, he narrowed the gap. Like, he could have won that by 3.2 seconds. It's just, you know, that's just incredible.
Yeah. And like 3 days of rallying, like, and being separated by that, like, you know, it's just a fantastic story. I think we'll talk, first of all, we'll catch up with Josh, and then we'll talk a wee bit about the WRC after we come back from Josh.
Josh, Portugal. what do we say? Like, has it sunk in with you?
Yeah, it was an unbelievable weekend. Stuff of dreams, I would say. Got into it. As I said, you've been fighting for a podium with the entry list in Rally 2. It was maybe five or six guys from Rally 1 that have come back to get back into Rally 1 fighting, and to be in that level of competition alone, yet alone to be fighting with them was incredible. But yeah, to keep it going throughout the weekend was something special, and we're really, really proud of that performance.
Like, you know, it's fair to say you're not there for the crack. This is part of your development. It's part of your, you know, your continued growth. You have had a strong WRC2 campaign already behind you with a Hyundai. But did you really expect to pull this out of the bag on you know, your first WRC event in the Skoda?
No, it's hard to go into an event like that there, especially Portugal, and let's say put a result on your target, especially with that competition, as I say. But we wanted to go in and improve and prove that we have speed as well, because let's say it is our fourth time in Portugal, we know the roads, we have the experience there, you have to start showing something or you'll definitely get lost very quickly. So yeah, you can go into even Shakedown, we started really well. I think we were the fourth quickest in the first pass, which kind of set the tone for the weekend. And then Thursday nights that were special wasn't so great. We struggled a lot in there, to be fair, and going into this Friday morning, I think we're 7 seconds down after the super special, which was quite a lot whenever we were trying to fight with these guys. And Friday morning, we just set our heads down and got at it. And the third stage, the first one was cancelled for us, and I think we were second quickest behind Pierre, which was point one. And from there on, we had to keep it going, because the feeling was there, it was comfortable, and the confidence was high, and everything was working.
And like that, you know, you seem to have just taken to the Skoda. It seems to be a very natural fit. Like, it seems to be working for you straight out of the box.
Yeah, everything's very, very nice. Yeah, the car's top class. It's been proven. It's been there. It's done it. You have the information from previous years with TalkSport. And yeah, the team themselves is a fully professional team. Everything's done. You're there to drive, and that's your job. So yeah, to be in that environment, as I said before, with these teammates as well, they push you on from a testing point of view, and to have their data and their knowledge from that there was definitely very helpful for me before the event, from a setup point of view and a driving data point of view as well. And then got into the event, we had a clear plan. We had actually a new engineer for this event, a French guy, and he was a big help with tire plans and knowing what to do and when to do it. And yeah, it gave us good confidence as a crew that the whole package was there to do the job, which yeah, makes our life easier.
And you know, when you're coming along and you're hearing word of some very experienced, high profile drivers, both in Rally 1 and WRC2, getting caught out by the conditions, how do you keep your head not to be distracted by that, not to be going, oh, you know, geez, I need to back off here maybe, or, mm-hmm. or like how do you kind of keep to the plan and stay focused? Yeah.
I think the plan, the outline of the plan before the rally was, we knew Friday was going to be a big day. It was no service, one tire fitting zone in probably the roughest stages in Europe in the World Championship. I think Chris was even saying they're rougher than Greece in places. So we knew it was going to be survival to get through that day. And from last year, we knew that getting through that day, you'd win a good result if you have no problems, no punctures. And we stuck to that plan. We didn't stick our neck out on second pass. We tried to get through clean. We got a puncture, I think, at the end of the second stage of the second loop, which didn't cost us so much. But yeah, we had one spare tire left for the rest of the loop, which kind of compromises a bit of speed. But no, we got through it cleanly. We were in a good position going into to Saturday, and obviously our road position improves from that, which is a big help in Portugal with the road condition deteriorating as the cars go down with the rocks and stuff coming out. But yeah, to manage that there with the whole situation that was going on with, I think there's maybe two or three leaders of the WRC2 crashed out. And yeah, it's good to have a man like Fuzzy beside you to start controlling that there. Point of view, he's been there in them positions before, knowing what to do and what stages to push. But I think our experience from Portugal over the past years has helped us to know what stages you can actually push on, ones you have to start surviving on. But yeah, it was a big team effort. Obviously, John Coyne was there, and he's in the background, no one there, and he's been there 4 years with us, so he knows the stages and how it works out as well. So everyone's learned along the way, and they know what was required.
Look, you mentioned James there, and I was going to get to James. Like, you know, James, loads of experience under his belt. And again, also competing in Portugal over the last couple of years as well. Like, what did that add? How did that help you, I suppose?
Yeah, I think whenever you get into a groove and the confidence is up, everyone comes as a whole. And I think, honestly, I think the stage on Friday morning did set the tone. From my point of view, you knew you can have the pace to fight with these guys, which, yeah, is a big confidence boost going into the rest of the weekend. Obviously, still have to manage it. And then I think that's when James's experience comes to tell you where to back off or where to go. And obviously, tire management comes into it with the work in between the stages with ride heights and changing tires and rotating tires. So, yeah, it's a big side from a mental point of view as well as a physical point of view, but to keep the head in it and keep the motivation up is a big side from the co-driver, which is, he's very good at.
And you mentioned how rough and tricky the conditions are, and punctures is always an issue, etc. Like how difficult it was tire strategy and managing your tires, and still, you know, aiming to set, you know, top times in the category as well.
Yeah, to be honest, first pass was always quite strong for us, especially early in the morning. I think the 3 mornings of the rally, we've set top 3 times in every stage of the first loop, which is a good thing to have. Waking up early and going at it. But I would say second pass, we started maybe to struggle a bit with tire management, and towards the end of the loop of second passes, our tires were quite shot compared to everyone else, which is something we probably need to work on going forward in these type of rallies. But yeah, sometimes you have to maximize the tires at a certain point, and towards the end of the loop they should be kind of gone by that point, or if they're not, you haven't used them to their full capability. So yeah, there's ways to look at it, but honestly, second pass in Portugal is always difficult, as everyone knows, and Amarante especially, the big 37 kilometers. The second pass bit, there was rocks and stuff coming out in the last 10K or so, and I think in our splits we dropped a lot in that last 10K just trying to survive. But that's the balance and risk that you're trying to manage to versus pace versus reward. So yeah, it's just one of them things you have to try to look at. Maybe looking back now, you're saying, okay, you could have pushed a bit harder there and got 3 seconds to get out. But no, honestly, it's you could spend all week looking at that there. But we have to take the positives away from this whole weekend, because there's too many to overlook.
Absolutely, there is, and like, you know, spectacular event to watch on TV. It was great to follow it. That's super special, the atmosphere, the crowds, the buzz. But that jump, it scares me every year because it's taken out so many people in the past, you know.
Yeah.
Like, have you had double caution, triple cautioned in the notes?
I think whenever it got to it this year, we had to go, and no matter what it was, it's more important the line you get over it. I think the speed's not so okay, you have to slow a bit, but the speed's not so important. But the line, if you get the line wrong, you're definitely not going to land in a good place. So yeah, that stage, both times we had to go max attack. There was no laying off for that there, which yeah, it's been a while since, let's say, we've been in the position to push for podiums or actual stage wins, to have the allowance, let's say, to go for it. And going into Sunday, everyone was on the same page, knowing we were 8 seconds off the lead. We have a chance at this here. So you never know when you're going to be in that position going into a Sunday again. So yeah, we threw everything at it in the first 2 stages, and I think it came back into 0.1. We were in the lead. So yeah, in the second last stage, Jan Solins, who was an incredible battle all weekend. I don't think 10 seconds maybe covered it the whole weekend. It was nip and tuck, and yeah, he took six back in the second last stage, which was a big blow. Let's say going into Pfaff, where it's 11 kilometers and 6 seconds is quite a lot on a stage that most people know. So yeah, we tried everything to get at it.
Yeah, but like, you know, when you think what 337 stage kilometers, it's for you to just be 3.2 off the, you know, the win on the category, like, amazing result. It honestly is, Josh.
Yeah, it was a big weekend, and the most outstanding thing, you talk about time difference, was we got to the end of the first 37 kilometers of Amarante, and we were 0.7 of a second difference between us, which was crazy. And I think if you look at even the splits throughout the stage, it was like 0 seconds throughout the whole stage. It was no big gaps, and that's what you want. You want a proper race, you want a proper fight, and that's what brings us all on as drivers. And if you hadn't told me at the start of the weekend you'd been fighting for a podium in WRC2, you'd bit someone's arm off. But to be fighting for the win was definitely a big step forward for us in terms of performance, and hopefully people have took notice.
And fog in the mornings, you know, did it leave the stages quite damp in places? Was it tricky with the fog, or was it not too bad?
Fog was quite bad on Saturday morning, or Sunday morning, sorry. The stage conditions was quite okay. It didn't leave it so damp, but obviously the visibility was quite bad over the mountain. But yeah, it's trust fully in pace notes. It was one of them points where we had to go, and yeah, as I said, James done a tremendous job, and that's where a co-driver of his caliber comes into their own league, and that's where the experience comes to the fore, and you definitely benefit fully from it.
And you know, we saw Scott Martin and Elvin have the issue with regard to the pace notes. Like, is that something you ever had back? You have a contingency plan for? Did it even ever cross your mind? My God, you know, we might not have pace notes on one or two of the stages. Like, do you have a plan with yourself and James?
No, not me personally, but I think that's more a co-driver department than a driver. Hopefully, I think a lot of people can learn from that because it's a good job that he had obviously the PDF saved of the notes. It's a quite easy mistake to do in that situation where there was confusion at the stop car. So yeah, it's definitely a thing that you can learn from and take forward.
And then another stupid question for you, but you know, a very hot event, like, you know, how do you even get the suits dry for the next day, you know, before you get in, you know, soggy race suit, I'm sure.
Fortunately enough, we've got two race suits, so they're always in rotation. Whenever you're wearing one day, the other one's getting washed, so it was quite good from a team point of view. That's covered with the team. It's these simple things that all add up, and
yeah,
in these teams that help you perform. So no, there's no smelly mornings.
And come here, no rest for the weekend. Wicked, you're gonna have a busy weekend this weekend, Tour of the Spurns.
Yeah, it's a busy weekend, a lot of traveling this week, but yeah, going to the Tour of the Spurns this week, and you could say it's the bigger one to look at from a personal point of view. But no, honestly, I'm looking forward to it, to get into the Polo at home stages. I don't really know. I think I done them last in 2018 Ulster, maybe Listenamuck or something like that. So yeah, we wreck you on Friday, rally Saturday, and hopefully some beer on Saturday night, which yeah, it'll be good to celebrate WRC2 last weekend because we were on a flight home Sunday night, which yeah, straight into some work this week. So yeah, it'll be good to celebrate with everyone at home and obviously have a good day's fun on Saturday.
Like, what can I say about Josh? And again, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Josh for his time. He's had a fairly hectic week. You know, he's been back and forward with different things on this week. And so he really did go out of his way to make time to talk to me. And like, what a fantastic story. What a fantastic guy. Like, him and James played a blinder. And you know, talking about fantastic stories, like WRC Portugal, Kevin, it had everything. We had all the drama. We had the fights between world champions. We had, you know, our leaders in WRC 1, or well, Rally 1 and WRC 2 getting caught out, and just had everything. It really was incredible.
Yeah, like the Rally 1 leader and the Rally WRC 2 leader went out within meters of each other. Like, they get a photo up with the three or four of them all standing around together. Like, so it was bonkers. Like, road position probably played its part on Friday, but even after that, it seemed complete madness. Like, we've seen changes of leader, we haven't seen a few rallies, you know, different guys having problems, you know, other guys benefiting from those problems, and Tannock back at the top table again too, which is great to see as well.
Absolutely. Listen, again, you know, without getting into the point system, he came away with a haul of points that has really elevated him up now and put them into contention with, you know, still the majority of the events to go this year. Mm-hmm. And again, the Hyundai seems to be a lot more forgiving on loose surface. And this is where we've seen in the past, a couple of years ago, he could take that car by the scruff of the neck on the loose, fast events and do something with it. And he certainly did that in Portugal, despite the fact he's not, you know, he's still not happy with the car, how it's set up, etc. He can still get a decent result out of it now on the right surface.
Mm-hmm. And Neville, once again, extended is leading the championship. You know, like, often hear it said about him, he never knew how to build a championship. There's something changed in him this year. He seems more confident, more settled in himself, maybe.
Yep, absolutely. He certainly does. And I, you know, he's got a little bit of a security blanket coming up. At some point, the team are going to impose, you know, team orders on Hyundai to support him because Tannock hasn't had a good start to his championship. And Evans, it just didn't come together. In fact, it didn't come together for the Toyotas, really.
Yeah.
You know, this was an event where Yari Matti nearly went in with a very cocky strategy. He had both Calais and Sebastian competing on the event, where normally they you know, it's one or other. And I think they thought, oh, we're going to take a haul of points, we're going to move well ahead of Hyundai and the manufacturers, And it actually didn't happen for them.
No, because I read somewhere they didn't actually even test in Portugal. They were testing on the next event. They were, almost that sure. And none of the drivers seemed very comfortable on Friday. But, by Saturday, they had turned around, mostly turned around, But, obviously, Evan still wasn't happy. That's just hard to know. But, Ogier, what can we say that hasn't been said before about the guy? Just shows why he's a world champion. He knows how to manage a rally.
Knows how to manage a rally. He came off, a win in Croatia on tarmac with very little seat time all year to get into the Toyota and win on tough, rough gravel. And no bother to him. Absolutely no bother to him. And again, he wasn't happy with the car either, so it's not like it was all going his way. But just as cool as a cucumber, he really is the ultimate world champion and starting to maybe get that stretch on maybe how we remember Loeb now as well.
Mm-hmm. And, he's turned into almost an Alonso-type character. He's over 40 now and still capable of, as any of the young guys too, has that desire, has that want, has that, heart on him to keep going at the highest level.
Yeah, and again, in tough conditions, it was very hot out there. It was a tough event, from just generally your fitness levels, your levels of mental fitness as well that's required. And again, it doesn't seem to be bothering him. It's no trouble to him still.
For sure, for sure. And then, before we go any further, I suppose we need to talk, Wal Creighton, set some good, strong times once again, showed that, he deserves to be where he is and done us proud once again. Chris Meek took top Portuguese points. That was only the Friday. And, was putting a storming drive back up through. He had issues on Saturday morning, I think it was. And the times were really good, but unfortunately slid off in the last stage. And then James Leckie and Stephen Molson, or Stephen McCauley, sorry, set some cracking times on the Sunday too. So, a positive weekend all in all for our guys.
Yeah, and again, we're forgetting Takamoto and Aaron as well. And again, they were putting in a strong performance. Now, what do you call it? Again, a mishap that went out. There was Taka had lost a very close family member at the beginning of the week as well, which obviously is going to have an impact as well. But when things were working there, times were absolutely phenomenal for the two of them. They were leading the event, so we can't take that away from them.
No, definitely, definitely. And as like you said earlier, none of them were particularly overly happy with the car. And for Tackle to be leading and not just quite at one with the car, it speaks volumes,
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And again, we mentioned Elvin's difficulties, staying within Toyota there for a second. Just want to say, Scotty Martin blew me away. Cool as anything. Mm-hmm. Missing his pace notebook. What's he do? He downloads a copy of the pace notes on his phone. And if you weren't aware, he was reading from a little, 5 or 6 inch screen. There was flawless performance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And then also then last weekend we had the Manx Rally too. And, a fantastic event. I love the Isle of Man. It's just such different characteristics from here, and the great stages over there. And from, the historic guys, especially from over here, done fantastic well. Seb Perez, I was going to call him Steve, Seb Perez and Gary McElhenney took the overall historic one. And then Michael McDade and Declan Casey took third as well too. And they get maximum points for the second day of the event. But Mark Higgins was the star of the show in the TR7. There's one of the stages on Friday night in the dark, third fastest overall. What a blinding time. Absolutely brilliant. What can we say again about Mark Higgins that hadn't been said before? Just a different level, and to see he's probably the wrong side of 50 now at this stage and, has that desire, has that heart, has that fight still in him, But just brilliant, brilliant. So anyway, I get a chance to catch up with Gary McElhenney and Declan Casey. So the Manx last weekend, and what a performance by the Irish, especially in the historic category. Gary, yourself and Seb took the one, and it wasn't easy.
Definitely wasn't easy. Huge competition, a lot of good quick Irish boys over. I suppose Mark Higgins being the top of the pops on the island for the weekend, he was sensational. Only he had trouble, really. Nobody could nobody could touch Mark's time. So, but good competition over from Ireland, Aidan Hetherington, Michael McDade, Declan there, and Owen McMacken was over. Yeah, it's just quick over Declan from Ireland. Damien Turner and Marty and all was over as well. They were doing the, what was the national end of it or the modified end of historics. But no, it's good to see all the Irish over and making themselves heard over there.
That's for sure. And like, I suppose we should talk about Mark Higgins before we go any further. Declan, like, we've often seen what he could do, but like, to see what he could do in a TR7, like, there's one of the night stages, third fastest overall. Some peddling.
Yeah, and it was a kind of stage as well, Kevin, that it was unbelievably technical, like, and the way he had mastered it was mind blowing. I think he was 40 something seconds faster than anybody else, which is crazy stuff altogether. Like, the stages are not easy over there. They're very quick if you're committed. And the notes and stuff is quite complex, but absolutely unbelievable speed. But again, as Gary has mentioned, he's the Isle of Man master, like. So we were happy to be in the same rally as him, not to mention trying to race him.
Like. I like Gary. Yeah, he was born in the Isle of Man, but he's been away, you know, a good few years now. It's not he knows them roads like so much better than everybody else. Just a masterful talent.
Ah, Mark Higgins. I've always rated Mark Higgins all through the years. You know, 20 years ago, Mark Higgins, I always rated him very highly. I know he'd done a bit in WRC, but he was probably in the WRC where there was a lot of really good drivers there. So he still did well, but he was up against so many good drivers at the time. I think maybe if I had a bit to say, Mark's talent today, and you know, if he was a bit younger, I think he would definitely be in the top. He'd be in the podiums of the WRC this year, no?
For sure. Yeah. And then, you know, for yourselves there, been over in the Porsche, and at the start of the year, you know, you kind of felt maybe the Porsche just wasn't there, you know, in terms of the outright speed. But is it really developed really well as the season has progressed?
Yeah, I suppose it's more miles. And it says, no way, you know, he's probably done more miles in a rally car this year than he has maybe ever done. So that's probably helping. And we're probably getting quicker on gravel. And then probably a bit shocked in the tarmac, you know, we do a bit of Bjorka, but not in that Porsche, in a kind of more of a beast of a Porsche. So I wasn't expecting that one there, just for us to go as well as we did. So it's very good, very happy. He's very happy, and the boss man Steve very happy. So he's happy. We can hopefully get going the next round too.
and Declan, your first time competing in the Isle of Man, like they're not, you know. Yes, they're tar the same as Ireland, but they're not the same characteristics. They are quite technical, quite difficult stages.
They are quite technical, yeah. What I thought was the biggest challenge was the amount of jumps and crests and blind stuff that you were coming at. You know, it was hard to see around the corner, see after the next jump. And of course, the speed is very high over there as well. So you really have to be on the ball with your distances and stuff. But fantastic experience. I'd recommend anybody to get over there.
Mm-hmm. Because like the way that they use the stages as well, sometimes, you know, you might use another section of the stage, you know, maybe in a later loop and things like that there, and like a co-driver really has to be on their ball, because there is so much changes and variation. And like, as you say, that them distances, like when you're going at the speed you guys are going at, like if you're 5-10 meters out, it can be disaster.
Absolutely. Yeah, the format over there is they use this maybe 7 or 8 miles of a stage, and then maybe later on in the evening they'll use it again, but they'll extend it a bit further. Maybe they'll add on another 5 or 6 miles, and then you throw a bit of darkness into that as well, and it really is a very good challenge, you know. Something that we're not really used to, and I haven't done, I'd say, 3 dark stages in my entire career. So new challenges are nice, and we seem to have gone fairly well overall. Saturday took us a while to get going, all right. But that was probably because I haven't sat with Michael since December in Killarney. So it just took a couple of stages to click again. And then once we got on the same wavelength, we started putting in good times again. And thankfully we came away with a podium. Mm-hmm.
And Gary, for yourselves, a really good start on, you know, the first day, you know, and things were looking really good. And then was it a fan belt give Bullard in? Was it the fourth stage?
We were quickest on stage 1, 2, and 3, and then on stage 4, about halfway through it, the charge might come on. So that's more or less, of course, means that the fan belt's gone. So that was very frustrating at the time now. So we nursed her to the end, and you can kind of get away if you drive them at kind of road speed. But if you go any faster than road speed, you'll just overheat, if you know what I mean. So we nursed her down to stage 4, got her into service, and the boys put a new belt on her. Thankfully, we had no more trouble after that, fan belt-wise. But, no, it was looking promising, very promising at the start. But then, listen, Mark Higgins had Bollard, who, do you know what I mean, on maybe stage 3. I think he may have had Bollard's gearbox trouble and stuff. So we got a head start, definitely did, but Mark would have been, he was going hard enough that he probably reined us in. Only he had trouble in over the weekend, so it gave us a bit of a chance.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, you have to really tip the hat to, you know, Dave Appleby, the way they have developed this, the TR7. Like, a few years ago, you know, they sounded great, they looked great, but they were never considered fast. Now, since the RAC last year with Chris Ingram, that car has come on leaps and bounds and only like a handful of events, really.
Yeah, they're probably working a lot, but then he's really, really good drivers, and you know what I mean? Your man's smart enough to put such drivers like Chris Ingram and Mark Higgins in the car. Historic thing, you know, it's something different as well. Probably a bit like Porsche, we're kind of a wee bit different than our Porsche, you know, as for most of the rest of the top 10 would have been Escorts. Still think that Escort's probably the all-round good car. They're a good, sharp Escort. Still really hard to beat tarmac or gravel. So, it's nice to triumph in there and push for something different.
Yeah, and, like, what's your thoughts on the Isle of Man too? Like, you've competed over there before, but, like, they are a different challenge, the stages over there, than what we'd be used to here in Ireland.
Yeah, I've done the Manx International before, but Seb was never on the island before. He never even was there on holidays. So it was a big challenge for him, really. If you're going back again, Declan would probably agree there. If you're going back now again, for like Seb, it'd be a lot easier because you kind of have it in your head what you're faced with. Again, as Declan says, they kind of reuse stages a bit there. So Brandywell, for example, like we come to the Brandywell Cottage Junction two different ways, two different parts of the event, if you know what I mean. So you'd on the second half of the stage, and you've done two different first halves of the stages. It's quite a bit of confusion when you're recce and trying to get your head around it to say, no, make sure that we're right here. And then towards the end of some of the stages, they'll turn you left at a junction and you'll finish on out there a few mile, and you'll do that stage again, and you'll go and you'll turn the opposite way at that junction and do a few mile to the finish. So it was quite tough to figure out recce-wise to make sure, you know, make sure you're making your notes right. We made our own notes and fair bit of work on that. But as Declan says, highly recommend it. It's a really, really good place to do a rally. Stages they're really good, they're really challenging, and I suppose it's somewhere different to rally outside of Ireland without going to huge expense of going to Europe, you know what I mean? It's clearly not fair. Do something.
Aye, and yes, we're blessed with the weather over the weekend as well too. Like, whenever you just got there, it took a bit of a drama to get there, but once you've got there, blue skies all round.
The last time I was in Isle of Man, it was rainy and foggy and horrendous, but I was very impressed this visit. It was good. Which Declan will probably tell you or two, like, the stages, if they're wet out there, I think it'll be a completely different ballgame. Lots of really shiny tar. I was really happy that they were dry. So you see the same, Declan?
Yeah, there was, like, I think it was the Little London stage, which was the, Gary was saying there, the end of it was used a lot. There was a downhill section in that. I wouldn't like to be going down there with water on the road. Like, it was scary enough in the dry, but if it was wet, I'd say it would turn into a right mess. But, yeah, lots of danger in the stages. But very, very challenging and very enjoyable when you get through all that, you know.
I cause like, isn't it mad to think for an island that's like what you know, such a small island, the amount of variation of stages they can bring in, like you know, you just competed there for like almost 3 days, and like it was like. Like a few years ago, like the Manx International would have run 4 or 5 days, and like yes, you know there was obviously you know stages repeated the same as what you were saying there, turn left and right, but like it's a real testament to the motor club over there involved to bring that together and create such a different event from what we're not used to.
Yeah, but what I found cool about doing that, it's a good while since I was there, maybe 15 years, but. What I found cool about doing the Isle of Man was with us RPM, that can be the same over the years. And next thing you'll come to a part of the stage during recce and you'll say, oh, remember Fisher over this jump, or remember Colin McRae sideways in the legacy. That's what's really cool about it. It's probably a bit of a childhood dream to get when you're watching TV and then to get doing them stages. It was pretty cool. Like we went even into Castletown where they used to run it as a town stage years ago. And just took a few photographs of the corners that you'd remember from RPM some years ago. So it's cool to be doing them stages for that reason as well.
Yeah. Declan, suppose you'd echo that sentiment as well?
I would, absolutely, yeah. There was lots of flashbacks from the RPM days. Do you know the Brandywell Cottage and the bits and pieces that you'd recognise, the jumps and stuff? Yeah, that's fantastic, yeah. I'd recommend it, yeah.
Yeah, because like you know, you automatically think of Castletown. You know, like the Group A legacies. You know, the Malcolm Wilson, Stephen Finlay, and the Escort Cosworths skipping in round the harbour. There wasn't it Richard Smith rolled the Sierra coming into Brandywell Cottage. You know, the names of the stages are just iconic, really, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, tis as I was telling people leading up to it, like tis a bucket list event. You know, you'd be delighted to get there once and just get the chance to go through some of these stages that we've been watching for years and years. You know, mm-hmm. And now that we've done it once, I think once mightn't be enough. We might have to go back again. definitely. The second time you go back, you'd be a bit sharper. Like you know, like everything was brand new for us, and we travelled those roads for the first time ever in Ricky. So. If you went back again, you know, another year, you'd be a couple of seconds sharper, like.
Yeah, and like you know, there is guys that's been good over there for you know a good few years and have kind of I wouldn't say maybe not fair to say mastered, but are more familiar with the terrain. And like, it was nice there to go and be able to race them and give them a good race and come out and beat a lot of them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were kind of initially going over to just get a bit of experience of the event and. Michael is registered for the BHRC and I actually registered as well, even though I knew that I wouldn't be able to do an awful lot of it because there seems to be a lot of clashes this year with the Irish tarmac rounds. So I knew I wasn't going to be able to do enough to be anywhere competitive in the championship, but I said I'd register, you know, just to keep the toe in. But Michael would have done the Roponian, he'd done the Rally North Wales, and this would be his third event, I think. And he has plans to do a few more later on in the year. But like I said, the clashes with the Irish tarmac mean that I probably won't go. But that's just the way it felt this year. Like.
Mm-hmm. And Gary, like, Yusuf had a great year so far. This British Historic Championship seems to be really coming on strong this year. Like a better variety of cars, you know, different winners. Seems to be really, really competitive.
That's very good. Seb missed the first round. He was abroad or something. So we've dropped around. This would be our third round, I think, now we have done. But yeah, it's really competitive and it's really taken on and the Irish boys looking over there. It's you know, you have Michael and Declan, you've Owen McMacken there, done the Manx there.
Adrian
Hetherington has the championship after his second or third round there. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's good to see the boys that we know or are familiar with here overdoing it and making a name for themselves. Like Hetherington's picked no matter where he goes, but I was really happy to see Hetherington in the mix of the championship there. You know, if anybody deserves a good run that championship, to Adrian, like he's thriving hard a long time, Mark Tugaskert. So I'm very happy to see him doing. Going well in them rounds.
Because like you know, it's not easy to skip between a modified class 14 and then you know go slide into a BDG escort. Like, they're completely different styles of driving.
Completely different, but that's it. They no jump into a transit van and drive it flat out. Like, he's just that type of boy. He's mad for tar all the time. Mad for a good battle. And so, no, I hope Ethan keeps going the championship too and keeps having a good rattle at it. Because,
yeah. No, and they are really good events that you are taking part in as well too. Like, you know, they are the, you know, the events that they've picked this year seem to be top class events, and you know, great variation in them as well.
They're good. They're all good rounds. You know, even if you haven't done them before, they're ones you've heard of. The next one is Argyll, which is the same weekend as the Donegal International, which Declan has said that there's a lot of clashes this year, so. That's the next round. I've never done. I've never been there either. But I had to pull me putting an international entry there myself. Driving to didn't know if we're going to Argyll or not. So unfortunately, I had to pull out from Donegal myself. Mm-hmm. Going to cause some motion Argyll for Seb.
Mm-hmm. The entertainer will be missed in Donegal this year.
he manages out. Casey there might take up that job the weekend maybe.
Declan, do you think you could get McDade to convince to go sideways?
I'm sure we could find a few pharmaceuticals that might help him along the way.
But like that event in Scotland, like, it's only run twice or at most three times, but it's already getting rave reviews. Like, it seems to be very well organised and on great roads over there, and like, for people from here, it's very close to the boat as well.
I don't know. I think you have to do ferries. I think you have to get ferry to Scotland. Declan might know better. I think you get a ferry to Scotland, then you get a ferry from Scotland over to it. As far as I know, I'm not even right. I don't know much about it yet. So. it's a bit. It's kind of Mull direction. Isle of Mull direction. I think it's up that kind of territory, maybe.
Yeah.
Did you do it before, Declan? No.
No. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. And then, like, Gary, so obviously, yeah, that's your next in your agenda. And, like, do you think it's going to continue on with the championship, or is it really one round at a time?
It's kind of one round. Seb's very busy at work. He's does some work for Tuttle Post there now, so he's kind of committed to a few things with them. So it's kind of one round at a time and see how we go. We'd like to keep going with it if we can. So. See what happens the next round and then decide what happens then. But listen, there's lots of quick boys there that's going to do the full championship. You know what I mean? We might have a bit of a, might be in the towards the top of the table there at the minute, but there's lots of quick boys who'll probably intend to do all the rounds, you know. So mm-hmm. See what happens.
Yeah. And Declan, your next event then, Donegal with Michael as well?
Donegal with Michael, yeah. And, I'd say he'll probably go back then and probably do some more BHRC stuff. I probably won't do a whole pile more now unless his UK navigator is not available for some reason, mm-hmm. with work or whatever. But I'd like to get over it again because it's a great challenge to compete against the BHRC regulars, you know, whether it be gravel or tar. But I think the Irish guys have a small bit of an advantage on the tar. Which there was three rounds of tar this year, I think, in the championship. There was three gravel to start and there's three gravel to finish. So you've the woodpecker, the tracker, Donian, is there something? To Scotland as well, anyway. But like that's another two day forest event, which turns into 4 or 5 days away from work. Like, so I'm being murdered at the moment over days away from work. I'm after getting very sick there in the last couple of weeks. And I'm afraid Norma will be giving me a phone call some of these days asking me where's all my sick certs. So I have to keep quiet now for a while and try and build up my days again for the next attack.
Mm-hmm. But
the chairman of the Historic Rally Association there, we're giving Casey a touch there over in Isle of Man saying, you know, he's really promoting the historic thing, and fairness to him, he has you know what I mean, he's lifted the profile off it and he's put in a huge effort. So I think we're calling him chief of historics and chairman of historics, and we're having a bit of crack with him. So I'm sure that takes all but effort to keep all your social media pages and everything going, Declan. So
it's a huge outlay of my time. Nobody really knows what goes into it. Like, but look, I enjoy it, and we try and keep it. We work better as a group. We try and keep everyone pointing in the same direction if we can. And it's nice to get people's opinions on what way we should be going forward and so on. So,
yeah, because like you know, the profile of the historic and the Tarmac Championship has really left it over the last couple of years as well too. And you know, things are a lot more positive, a lot more entries, and like you really think this is just the start of this. This is work in progress.
Oh, I think it's the tip of the iceberg. I think historic rallying is going to take over in another 10 or 15 years. I think you'll have more historic cars than anything else. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, I think it's a very enjoyable section of the rally. There's very good camaraderie there. There's loads of very, very, very nicely prepared cars. The events are top class. And it's only a matter of time before everybody else discovers it. And it'll get bigger and better. Look at Gary there. Look.
And Gary, you know, you've been very fortunate. You have sampled, you know, the top line, the R5 Rally 2 cars, you know, the top, you know, Class 13, Class 14 modified cars and the historic rallying as well. Like, historic rallying, people think it's a soft touch, but it's far from it.
Well, it's far from a soft touch. It's far, far, far from soft. I would say if you look at some of the stage times from the top historic boys, to some of the modified or even the R5 crews, you'd be really, really surprised at how quick the boys are going. Mm-hmm. Like on for Friday night in the Manx, we actually caught a game R5 Fiesta, like, and I just at the end of the stage was like, I wasn't expecting these boys to catch me. You know, the people of that opinion is the historic is probably the word that makes people think you're slow for a tour around.
Mm-hmm.
But the pace is, it really, really is really good. As I say, you know, because Mark II Escort's a lovely car to drive, modified or historic, but to listen to a BDA on full song, like it's really good, like it's really impressive.
Yeah. And the Porsche engine singing away behind you too is a nice song to hear as well.
You know what I mean? Porsche is definitely a good car, and the Stratos and them things, they all sound, again, it's something, what we spoke about earlier, it's something different. And the Porsche sounds well too. There's a Tuttle engine now in that Porsche. So she sounds really sharp, you know. It's cool, something different.
Mm-hmm. And like, as well, you know, I suppose before we let you go too, the other thing we should touch on, like you're not long back from Morocco as well. And that was another, like that's a proper adventure. Like that was a 7-day adventure over there.
Yeah, that was a good rally. I had a 5-day recce, which was tough as well. A lot of miles in recce, and the event was long as well. We done it in a Mark I Escort BDA, and good rally. Some good names there. Didier Auriol won it again in a Mark II Escort BDA. We finished 7th. Auriol was well ahead of us now, no doubt about that. But it was nice to be, you know, mixing in around them and drivers like that, Alain de Veza, a couple of good, really good French historic boys were there. Good rally, high temperatures, but good finish for us. Our top 10 was our hope, so 7th was really good.
Excellent. And, like, you know, you need the strong support from home to allow you to do that as well?
Oh, no, Charlene's she's a good one now. She's let me do all these things, and she's wrestling with two boys at home here while I'm away living it up. Well, she thinks I'm living it up. It's not at all. It's not at all. Back in Morocco doing a recce for a couple of days can be tough enough. But anyway, now fair play to her. She's a great part of my life, and this household, she holds the whole thing together.
Mm-hmm. And Declan, I'm saying you're the same. You need a strong partner there beside you too to keep the ship sailing as well.
Absolutely, Kevin. We couldn't do what we're doing without the strong women we have behind us and looking after the place while we're gone. But we're very lucky. Myself and Gary, and there's a couple of more lads we could mention there. We're getting away with murder, so we'll keep at it as long as we can get away with it.
So thanks to Gary and Declan there, and no doubt we'll be keeping up to date with their further adventures. And then Conor, this weekend coming up, we have the Tour de Spearns and the Carlo Mark II Rally, Mark II Challenge, and then the Rally as well, obviously part of that. But Mara Fault, Tour de Spearns, an event very close to your heart, Conor.
Oh, absolutely, Kevin. Brings back memories. I would have been event secretary for the very first running of that event when we used the Forest. What do you call it? I between Drooperstown and Mooneenina and that area, neck of the woods. And who would have known or who would have thought back then for the very first time to run that event that it would become the established rally that it has, and a rally that over the years has switched back and forward between forestry and tarmac. Like, there's so few events have done that in Ireland. Like, you know, that was an incredible achievement, and it's one that's great to see that Mara Fault District Motor Club are still keeping it going.
That's for sure, that's for sure. And did you ever think that you would have a guy starting the event that just finished on the podium from the WRC event just, you know, a few days earlier too? So you know, it is fairy tale stuff, it really is, you know. And hats off to the Mara Fault Motor Club. They have always been an event that has run rallies, you know, they're run by club men for club men, you know. They always have the competitor at heart. And, you know, speaking of, you know, the guy, one of the guys was rallying at heart, Crawford Henderson. You know, what can we say? Crawford is just one of those rocks that's been there forever and an absolute legend of the sport. And I get a chance to talk Spearns with him. Crawford, we're only a few days away now from the Tour of the Spearns. And once again, Mara Fault Motor Club has pulled out all the stops and pulled together a fantastic event. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. First of all, I think we should pass on our huge congratulations to Josh and James. Like, a fine second in WRC 2 and Rally Portugal at the weekend.
It's a fantastic result. Fantastic result for them. And we're very proud to be associated with them. The members of our club. And he's put a lot of hard work. I mean, people see it as fun, and there is fun in it and enjoyment, but there's a lot of hard work goes into that, and it's great to see it paying off. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see all the guys out there. There's been other guys out there, and they've all been stuck in and getting mm-hmm. getting in there and showing people what they can do. Young Crichton, obviously, and others, but. For Joyce, that is some result. That is incredible. Yeah. You know, to go to an event and be right in among those guys is hard work.
Yeah, because like when you look at it on paper, like he has been out of the seat for, you know, a wee while now, you know, getting the deal done or getting the deal over the line to get the TalkSport Skoda. And to go back and at that level with, you know, the cream of the crop and fighting with them and, you know, maybe unlucky not to take the one.
Well, I think it proves that the skill is there.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe I'm not totally au fait with what they're doing, but maybe there's a better system in place now, and maybe he's getting more confidence in these. But the result is what it's all about, and that's a magnificent result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, anybody wants to see him, come to the Tour of Spearns next Saturday.
Absolutely. I was actually surprised and shocked and I'm delighted to see him there. And it'll add a bit of, I don't know what you would call it, but it'll add something to our event. And it'll be good to see him. And I hope he enjoys the stages.
Yeah, because, you know, we had Desi Henry on a couple of weeks ago after he's won the Maiden City. And like he was saying, he just can't wait to see how he compares against Joyce. You know, like their you know, their family connection there and all too. Like, and you know, he just wants to see, like, he's not going to let it go easy, so he says he's going to give him a good race.
Well, we all know the skill that Desi has. I've been texting him there earlier today, and he was out doing his recce today, and I would say he's put a lot of work in today to make sure that he knows exactly what's going on next Saturday.
But, you know, the club has really pulled out all the stops, you know, to give those, like, there's going to be 100 starters by the look of things next Saturday, and those 100 crews will have a top-class event to look forward to.
Well, if I told you that last year's event was just the same weekend, and I took 2 weeks out, and the preparation for this year's event started on the 1st of June last year, picking stages, trying to get safety plans done, trying to get road books done, time cards done, talking to residents, moving stages, shortening stages, we had an issue at the end of stage one, which thankfully is resolved, but that put the whole rally into just a complete turnaround. Mm-hmm. And as a result, it's no big deal that as a result, but we've had to move the rally forward half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't start until 10:45 a.m. So it's a bit late and means we finish a bit late, but there's absolutely nothing we can do. We must look after the residents. It has to be done.
Oh, so they are anybody, the number one priority of any rally. Sure
everybody understands that, mm-hmm. that there is a reason for all these things, and there is a reason why the stages are separated. You know, the stages are not on top of each other. They're completely miles away from each other, and there is a reason for that.
Yeah. Because we need residents, you know, if we don't have residents, you know, allowing us to use our roads, there'll be no rallying.
Well, you must go with what residents tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, the people, even the people that want out, they have a communion to go to, and they are nearly disappointed they're not seeing the rally. So they're not against the rally; they just have to get out.
Yes.
So we have to go along with that. Mm-hmm. And it's no big deal; it's only half an hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think everybody will understand why we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're coming from a long way as a marshal or a competitor, at least you'll not have an early start in the morning. You'll be able to get your breakfast.
That's for sure. And like last year, you know, you've had a fantastic service area, and you are using that once again there in the heart of Marshallfield as well too.
What a fantastic place. It is absolutely brilliant. It's all concrete. And I have to say, Desi Henry's cousin has given us his shed again for scrutiny, and there'll be some cars serviced in his yard, and I really, really appreciate that. And we're using his office space for a rally HQ. Last year we were in Walsh's Hotel in Mahara, which is 10 miles away,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't feel right. The guys that were in Rally HQ would rather be at the rally and see what's going on. And I think it'll be better. I think it'll be a better setup.
Yeah. And the covenant in Marrowfield, it allows, you know, the random, you know, spectator to come in. You know, somebody maybe doesn't know exactly what a rally involves. Let's them come and have a look and see what's so good about our sport as well.
Well, the Ronan Valley Business Park, it's so big, and it has so many car parks within the service area that we can allow spectators to come in and park. And as long as they be sensible, we'll be happy to see them. And it's nice to see people wandering through a service area and enjoying the sport. And maybe if people have young kids that don't want them, maybe out on the stages,
mm-hmm.
but they feel safer maybe in a service area. And I like to see that.
That's for sure. And then the stages, you know, like Killian Duffy has a wee thing up in the social media, and he thinks that there's a real good challenge in stages will really bring out the best in drivers and co-drivers as well.
Well, as I say, I started it last June, and I tried to pick stages that are not extremely fast. There might be fast bits in the stage, but there'll also be not very slow bits, but mm-hmm. it's a nice mixture, and there's no stupid wide roads or anything dangerous or anything like that there, and that's where all the safety comes in, picking the stages,
mm-hmm.
and getting the proper stages and getting stages that people like, and plenty of twists and turns in the stages.
Yeah, because like drivers, that's what they love. They love a challenge. You know that. You know, you often hear them coming off the end of a stage, and they're talking, you know, about that. You know, the mid speed corners. You know, it's the high speed corners. There's no time to be gained. It's those mid range corners, and you know, the short straights and the break, and that's where they make the time, or you know, or where they can lose the time easily as well.
Well, absolutely, and that's why we have been very, very careful about these stages, and there's been a lot of time spent picking the stages. And again, as you know, I was talking about chicanes last year.
Yeah.
We have a finish line on stage three close to some houses, and there's a terrace row of houses, And I've just put a little chicane in before you turn square right, just to scrub the speed off. Not for any other reason. Just mm-hmm. I don't want them going near the houses at high speed.
Yes.
So, and then they go up to the finish line. And with another little speed reduction chicane, it's not really a chicane. It's just there's a high-speed corner. I've set a couple of bales out in the road.
Mm-hmm.
You will have to drive round the bales, which means you have to drive a little bit slower. But I hate chicanes.
Yes.
And for good reason, for not only chicanes, but the setup and the taking down of them, and people hit them and people argue about them. And I think, nah,
yeah,
we'll do without them.
If they're not there, there'll be no argument.
That's right. That's exactly right. And nobody, you know, a guy in an R5 car hits a chicane with his front wing and a wing mirror and a door and dents his door. And, you know, he's into a repair bill that nobody wants.
No, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why we try and keep away. It's not always possible to do that,
yeah,
but we try and keep away from them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of a general idea of where the stages is for anybody that'd be coming to speak to you.
Would you believe stage one starts maybe a half a mile away from stage one last year? So last year you turned right at a crossroads, this year you turn left. And the two stages are, there's absolutely no common ground.
Yeah.
Between last year and this year. But first stage starts, as I say, half a mile from last year. Very twisty, bendy road. There's a fast section in the middle, but it's okay. And then stage two, we're back up again, would you believe? The start line is within 5 yards of the start line from last year. But instead of going straight on, we turn hairpin right. And it's commonly known as Doraville,
mm-hmm,
or Ruski. I'm not sure which it is, or maybe it's both. But it's a lovely stage, and we've taken it right out to a little village up near Bunbridge, and it's a nice 7.5 mile stage. Third stage, we've used a little bit of it. Was it last year? I think it was last year, yeah. But where it finished is now where we start. And then we go a different direction.
Okay.
After a couple of junctions.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a nice stage. And then back into service. So it's three stages done twice. And we can't, because of our late start, we try to give them an hour of a service in the middle. But because of the late start, we've cut that back to 40 minutes,
mm-hmm,
which is still okay.
Yeah, I think 40 minutes now of a service is, like, it's more than adequate, because, like, unless you have some really major issues, 40 minutes allows the service crews a good wee bit of time.
Well, I always try to give them an hour, so that if some competitor down the field maybe has trouble with his car, he can get out there and get it fixed, or if he mm-hmm. can't fix it, somebody else can fix it.
Yeah.
And gives him time and gives him value for money, because he might get back out onto three stages that otherwise he couldn't do.
Couldn't, yeah.
So that's the reasoning behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you are once again around the Northern Ireland Championship, and that championship is really flourishing this year. You know, there's a whole lot more. You know, they're bringing out, they have a YouTube program out at the end of every event. You know, there's a whole lot more awareness now around social media and all too. Like, it's great to see that championship coming back to where it really should be.
Well, I have to congratulate Gavin Campbell, I must say. Coming down to Christmas and after Christmas, he organised all of that himself and did a magnificent job. And we had a meeting, can't remember when, around Christmas time, and he introduced us to all the guys, and they're doing a magnificent job, and it really has put our profile up five gears.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a credit to him and our chairman, Raymond Linton, that it's all come together. And it really has helped the championship.
Yeah, because you see, every event that's run, like the, you know, the Maiden City and yourselves, the two road events, like, the entries have been, you know, practically, Maiden City practically run a full entry, and it looks very likely you yourselves will run a full entry now on Saturday as well.
Well, we can only run 100 cars. We just can't take any more.
Uh-huh.
Behind you now, I'm looking at this thing. We have five cars on this screen here on reserve, and maybe all five will get running. Maybe, I'm not sure, but I hope they do. Some people are actually struggling to get co-drivers. Seems to be the main thing, and I'm amazed at that, but that seems to be a problem. Mm-hmm. But we have 100, we can only accept 100 cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, you know, always, like, most clubs are, like, crying out for marshals, and I'm sure Mahrafelt's no different. They, yes, are always glad any help would be appreciated.
Well, we would be delighted to see anybody. The three stage commanders are Willie Wiley on stage one, Caroline McGuinness on stage two, and Barry Arundel on stage three. And they'll always be delighted to see, because if you're out at a junction and there's two of you, it's always nicer to have four or five or six, mm-hmm. and you can have a chat and a conversation all day, and hopefully nothing happens. But if something does happen, it's easier for four or five guys to sort it out than a couple of guys.
That's for sure.
So mm-hmm. they'll be delighted to see anybody. Yeah. Anybody that wants to turn up, we'll be delighted to see you and hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, because those three names that you just mentioned there, you know, Caroline, Barry and Willie, like three more dedicated people you won't meet. You know, they travel the breadth of the country, helping out different clubs. And, you know, they have a great team behind them as well, but they're always looking for new recruits as well.
Well, they're always looking for new recruits, but I told our safety delegate actually yesterday, we have an English safety delegate over ISIS. We probably have the best three stage commanders in Britain on this rally. So I don't be worrying about safety. These guys have been there, they've done it, they have great skill, and I'm very, very thankful to the three of them, because I know they'll do it properly.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And then as well, then too, like, how thankful, you know, you have a blue chip company sponsoring the event as well, and go, like, they have been very good to you over the last few years.
Oh, they have indeed, and we're delighted to see them on board again. And some of the guys who work for the company are actually going to do the rally, so we're delighted to see them. And I hope they enjoy it, and I hope everybody enjoys it. And I hope now this year that go get a bit of bit more coverage with our social media, and I hope they see it as good value for money,
mm-hmm.
because it will get round, literally round the world,
yeah.
and it'll be. I hope it works for them, and I think it will.
So thanks, Gerardy Crawford. A pleasure as always. And then also this weekend on Sunday, the Carlow Motor Club are running their rally. Part of that's the Mark II Challenge, which is celebrating its 20th year. So lots going on in Carlow, and I get a chance to catch up with Onyafield. So, Anya, all looking good now for the weekend. The rally starts now on Sunday.
Yeah, so we are delighted to be hosting the Seven Oaks Hotel Carlow Stages Rally, and in conjunction with that, the O'Brien Cement Mark II Challenge, which take place on Sunday, May 19th. This rally in particular is kind of quite special to Carlow Clog Club because it is the 20th anniversary of the Mark II Challenge. So we're really, really excited about that, and we have a tremendous entry of Mark IIs and Mark II drivers from Ireland and Wales. So we're really, really excited.
Yeah, because, like, the, you know, all our clubs have tried the Mark II Challenge, you know, in different variations of it. And, you know, it's been successful for, you know, a couple of years and then faded away. Carlow has kept that, you know, right at the forefront of their popularity over those 20 years.
Yeah, it definitely has. Like, and I'm much newer to Carlow Car Club, so my history of the Mark II Challenge probably isn't as good as someone else's. But it's phenomenal the work they put into the Mark II Challenge. And even this year in particular, we're kind of paying kind of homage back to the very first Mark II Challenge, because the stages that we're running are based around Paulstown and O'Loughlin. We've actually incorporated some of the stages from the 2004 Mark II Challenge. So we're really kind of, we really, really appreciate the Mark IIs and their drivers and the people that come over to us, and we like to kind of be as good to them as we can. So we feel like paying respect to the very, very first event is kind of the right thing to do. But no more than the stages will suit Mark IIs, but they're also going to suit all the R5s and the phenomenal top 10 entry we have, because we're incredibly lucky, not just Mark IIs, but the entry we've had, especially this year, is just, it's phenomenal. It's a really, really good showcase of the cars and the drivers that we have within Ireland, and of course outside of Ireland, because we have some exciting drivers and exciting cars coming this year that we're really, really excited to see. Maybe one in particular, if I'm being biased, but yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think the whole of Ireland's with it by bated breath now. You know, the Yaris Rally 2 is coming, Marian Evans and JJ Jackson, or JJ, like Jonathan Jackson, are coming over. And like, I don't know a car that's been so eagerly anticipated in a long, long time.
Yeah, it was crazy. As soon as the entry list came out, the articles were just popping up everywhere about the cars. So it's definitely one to be seen on the stages. But if anyone is looking to get kind of really up close and kind of get to see the car kind of stationary and actually appreciate the detail in the car, the place to do that would be the ceremonial start, which is taking place on the Saturday evening outside Carlow Town Hall at 7:30. So we'll have the top 10 drivers there, including that car, which we're very excited to have. And then we'll also have the top 10 Mark II drivers, which again are just some phenomenal drivers and machinery. And then we'll have a host of other drivers and cars, some local, some others that just want to be involved, because we're again, it like our launch, the rally is in conjunction with ACHT, Carlow Cancer Support Group. So we'll have people there with buckets raising money for that. So we're really hoping for a good turnout just to see the cars, see the drivers, hear some stories, but also donate generously to a really, really worthwhile cause that we're really happy to be in partner with this year.
Yeah, because like, you know, we're very much, we've always said that in the podcast, bringing rally into the people, you know, bring it into the town centres, you know, involve the local people, you know, that could generate the next generation of marshals, competitors. We just don't know what doors that can open up, and that has to be welcomed definitely. And if those people can come along and, you know, throw a few coins or a few notes into the bucket, it'll be gratefully appreciated by everybody.
Oh yeah, definitely. And even we've actually we're hosting the new youth training on the Saturday evening at 5 o'clock in the Seven Oaks Hotel. And there's been a post up about that. You have to email Motorsport Ireland to get involved and to register. And anyone who goes to that training, we'll be bringing them down to the ramp. So we definitely are trying to get as many people involved. And on that aspect as well, our service area is Morrissey's Quarry in Fennis Court here in Bagnallstown, and we've actually created a spectator car park so that spectators can actually park their cars and get into the service area and actually see it. So we really are doing our best to get all the locals in and everyone who wants to kind of see things and get close to it, in the hopes that, you know, these will be the future drivers and marshals and people doing jobs like mine or competing and stuff like that, just to be involved in motorsport, because it's definitely, there's a great community within motorsport. So we want to kind of encourage people into that. So hopefully that'll help and obviously bring stuff back to the town that are so good to let us host a rally and close roads and locals and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, because like, you know, we need, you know, the residents, we need the local landowners, we need even, you know, the shopkeepers, the hotels, you know, all those things. Everything needs to work. It's like a well-oiled machine. Everyone has to work in conjunction to make the rally happen. You know, it's not just two or three people. This is a whole community effort.
Oh, definitely. And like we've been so lucky with Carlow Town Council and Carlow Tourism for coming on board to like let us close roads in the town on Saturday evening for the ceremonial start, as well as closing roads here in Carlow and partly in Kilkenny for the stages of the rally. So we really appreciate everything they've done for us, as well as the locals for, you know, giving up the roads basically, especially around communion and confirmation season and the sunny weather. So we really, really appreciate everything that the locals have done, and as well the shops. We've only just dropped out all the programs to all the shops to sell them, and we just really appreciate the local support that we get. So it's great to have it, and like long may it last here in Carlow, because what the club are doing in running rallies and other events, it's been brilliant. So it's great to have the support of the town and the locals.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And then, you know, like if people, you know, on the Sunday, if they want to get up close, and you know, you mentioned where the service area is, you know, roughly what time they'll be there, you know, people want to come along and see.
Yeah, so the first car is due to leave Parc Fermé around 10 to 9 in the morning. Then the first car is due on the first stage around 10 a.m. So the best way to do it is to go into one of the local stores that we've mentioned on the Facebook page and get a map. If you want to go out and see the stages, if that's not your thing, or you have buggies and it's easier just to go into a service area, first car will be due into our first real service of the day, so not just a tire change, the first service around 11:30, and then the second service will be around 3 o'clock. Nope, got that wrong. It's around 2:15. And then the finish ramp, they'll go to Parc Fermé at the end of the day, and then they go on to the finish ramp outside the hotel. Which again is the Seven Oaks Hotel, who are the one of the main sponsors and the host for the rally. So we'd recommend people getting to there probably around 5 o'clock, just to get yourselves a spot and stand somewhere that's okay to stand, and you'll get to see the finish ramp with the winners, and of course the winners of the Mark II Challenge, which is easily probably the biggest celebration, because the crown and pinion trophy that is given out is pretty spectacular now, to be fair.
And you know, it's one of those trophies that all the modified men want on their mantelpiece as well too, so like it'll be a hard fought battle to claim that crown, no doubt.
Oh, definitely. Even I collected the trophy off last year's winner, which was Ed O'Callaghan and Kane Trainer. And when I kind of was just checking in to see where the trophy was, the picture I got back of the trophy was definitely a pride of place in, it was actually in Kane's house. So I think Ed is hoping he might be able to win it again, and maybe he'll get to take it home this time. But yeah, so it'll definitely be a big battle, because we have some brilliant modified drivers in there really going for it this year. So we'll have to see. We've kind of ran through all the previous winners. So it's kind of a thing, is it going to be a previous winner, or maybe there's going to be a new name on the trophy? Who knows?
Someday we'll decide that, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And the, you know, it looks like a really compact, tight loop with stages as well too. And I believe there's a real challenge in it for everybody. Like it'll not be stages that will favour the Mark II. It'll not be stages that will favour the, you know, Rally 2 R5 cars. It's just a real mixture for everybody there.
Yeah, that's it. Like I actually should have been competing in the rally myself, so I'd ordered my notes and the DVD of the stages to get prepped. So I've had a look at them through that, and then I know some of the crews that had to do early recce because they're competing next Saturday at other events. And the comments we've got back from everyone is just brilliant. There's tight and technical, there's open and fast. It's going to be a challenge for everybody, but it's going to suit. Different sections will suit every car and suit every driver. So it really, really should put all the drivers through their paces and kind of really show who's out to commit to kind of to get the win kind of thing. So,
And, you know, another thing that's the backbone of the sport is marshals, you know, and like I'm sure Carlo's no different than any other club. If you want to come along and help out on the day, there's people to contact there as well.
Oh, definitely. We are blessed with our chief marshal, Nick Brady. He has all of that in hand and he's been brilliant. The only thing we would ask is those who have nominated themselves within their clubs to say that they would marshal, would just confirm that with their club, just so we can kind of get a final numbers on it. I'd be a brilliant PRO if I had all of the marshal meeting points off the top of my head, but we are less than a week out from the rally, and that is not what's at the forefront of my brain at the minute.
No, but all that information will be on the Facebook page and all that.
Yeah,
as well.
They're all on our Facebook page. We're being tormented slightly with some fake Facebook pages, kind of pretending to be us, but we are a like page only, so you'll never get a friend request from us, and it's the Carlo Car Club page, and you'll be able to find all the information there. Or if that you can't find, just pop us a message. We'll be back in contact with you.
And then I suppose finally, is, you know, marshals and officials are there for your safety as well too. So if they ask you to move, or you know they feel somewhere your stand's not safe, respect what you're being asked to do, and you know, do as you're told.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I've spent my time over the years. I'm a long time in the sport. I started competing in 2015, but I spent years before that going to rallies and watching rallies. And in recent years, I've took up more marshalling and more official roles and stuff like that. So the main message we just want to get out there to people is please obey the marshals. They are telling you to move or to stand in certain places for your own safety. Unfortunately, rallying is a dangerous sport. What happens in a car is very unpredictable. I know that. I've been in the bad situations myself. But luckily, we've never had an incident that's put anyone else in danger because everyone listens to the marshals. So definitely for the Carlo Rally on the 19th of May, please, please just obey the marshals, obey the officials. Let us all get through it nice and safely.
So thanks very much, Erty, on you. Another busy weekend ahead too. There's going to be lots of things we're going to need to keep eyes and ears open for. So hopefully this good weather keeps up. And before we go, can you please like, share, subscribe, rate? All those things make a huge difference. And thank you for the numbers you've been watching over the last few weeks. It's just been mind-blowing. Once again, thank you very much. So until the next time, take care, speak soon, and bye.